forever. Dog.
The Scum of the Hills. This week on the podcast, VC Andrews's Heaven.
Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses why Pulp Fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And we are back with the queen of fucked upness, VC Andrews.
Woo! This book was crazy.
As usual, like, VC Andrews brings the drama and the just shit show.
It was like insanity nonstop.
Yeah, it never stopped.
Yeah.
To get it out of the way, we assume that a lot of our listeners are big fans of the My Sweet Audrina episode. Mm-hmm. And so you know what you're in for when it comes to both VC Andrews and the episodes where we talk about them.
And us.
And us. But just in case, trigger warning.
Capital T.
With a capital T. Hashtag all caps,
all caps trigger warning.
Because that is her thing. That's just, this should be called Gothic Trigger.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Excellent work, Lindsay.
Yeah, thank you. So yeah, don't listen to this episode if you feel triggered by incest, sexual abuse, rape.
Extreme porniness.
I was going to make the same joke. Pureness.
Their porniness is laughable.
Off the charts.
It is. Too much.
So poor.
It's too much poorness.
Too poor.
They're too poor. Like, I was like, there's
literally
no way I can't.
Starving all the time.
I know that that's like so bitchy and it makes us sound so first world. Like, ew, they're like too poor. But like,
well, it is just excessive how much she goes into. Like, we spend most of our time sitting with Heaven being poor.
The first half of the book is pure poorness.
That's like all it is.
It's Heaven.
It's so much poor.
Heaven. So the people that live in this one room shack,
mm-hmm.
in like
you guys, they have an outhouse.
Yeah, they have an outhouse.
An outhouse.
And they don't have heat. They have.
No, they have a stove, which she nicknames Old Smoky.
And it just like barfs smoke, yes. into their house.
That's all they have.
And they don't even have a separate bedroom. They have like a blanket that they hang up that the mom and dad like fuck on the other side of.
Yeah.
And
very comfortable.
Very comfortable. Mm-hmm. It's like springs inside of like a manila folder,
yeah.
is the mattress.
Yes.
And so it's Heaven and then Tom who's like,
he's just like a year younger. Like,
if
was
that,
it like 3 months?
It's very little amount of time. Like, the dad fucked both of those women very close together.
VC really took her time explaining that the reason that her brother was the same age is because he was like just fucking other women while Angel, her mother, was pregnant.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm sorry. Are they doing what? How are they the same age? How are they laying on a little cradle together? What are you talking about?
I didn't get that. So I was like, are they a year apart? But it turns out they're like literally like 3 months, like very close,
yeah.
in age, to a point where they're almost like twins.
Yeah.
But they're half brother and half sister,
mm-hmm.
who are very close.
I was shocked when they did not fuck.
Here's the thing. Immediately after finishing this book, I bought the next one. Because I was like, they have to fuck in the next one. They have to.
Do they?
I don't know. Oh. I haven't read it yet.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm on the edge of my seat.
I bought Dark, the bookstore near where I work, the used bookstore, went out of business or just closed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in and I bought every VC Andrews book that she wrote.
I yes.
tried to
Good
only
work.
Stick to the ones that she wrote. Mm-hmm. And so I have Dark Angel sitting on my shelf.
And unfortunately, Dark Angel is the last of this series, of the Castiel series that she wrote.
Yeah, and it's the last one she ever wrote. Although the third, he was able to salvage from her starting it.
Yeah, there was like a bunch of notes and outlines and stuff.
Yeah. So that's like something. I guess we could cover that one.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely need to know what happens when she goes to Boston.
Yes.
Because I know that the brother is going to be involved somehow. Because yeah. here's the thing. So Okay, so it's her, Tom, and then the little kids are our Jane.
Well, it's her, Tom, Fanny, who is 2 years younger. So when we start the book, she and Tom are 13. Fanny is 11. Fucking, like, Fanny wishes she was hashtag all caps.
I know.
But she is not.
She's a pale imitation.
She is
very embarrassing.
Hashtag lowercase Vera.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she is a crazy little Lolita character who's just ready to fuck whoever, whenever, be it in a closet at school or
a closet at church.
Or a closet at church. Yeah. Which is fucking wild that V.C. Andrews seems to have such, like, she keeps writing these characters where young women are like super loose and like just sex addicts. But she never really goes into the fact that, like, they're mentally ill. There is like something that needs addressing.
There's something
they're
else.
Not just bitchy. Like, they have problems.
No, she has a serious problem.
Yeah.
Like, she is, first of all, she's like 11 when this is first happening, and she's like fucking guys.
Yeah, she clearly needs like a way more love than she is getting.
The
like, she
dad
a, like what's the word I'm looking for? She's a like when you like you trying to say
neglect.
Psychological need for love, pathological need for love.
Yes. Yes. And it's, you know, obviously because like her parents are really fucked up. Like, the dad is a classic V.C. Andrews dad.
Yeah.
Just, like, barely there. Very, extremely handsome.
They're always so handsome.
Handsome dads. Okay, so what are the things that are...
Handsome, shitty dads.
Handsome, shitty dads.
There's no... All right, so Luke, you should just know. So Luke is the dad, and you should just know that he is basically Damien from My Sweet Audrina.
Yeah.
There is no...
But pure.
But pure.
Yeah.
There is no Luke Damien character in Flowers in the Attic, though. Oh wait, I'm fucking wrong as fuck.
The grandpa.
No. Fuck. Who does she start? Who does the mom start seeing?
Oh yeah, that guy. The guy that she lies to.
I think it starts with a C in that case, but yeah, she sees. The mom gets engaged to that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He later falls in love with Kathy.
He does.
Yeah.
Ew. Oh, because you read the
other
the
book. I read the second book because I couldn't not. It was very boring. I'm just going to look that up. I totally forgot about that character.
I just found out that on Shudder, the like 1970s version of V.C. of Flowers in the Attic movie is on there. So I watched it while doing Patreon chores.
Wait, which one? The 80s one?
Oh, 80s. Yeah, the 80s version.
With Christy Swanson?
Yes. And
AKA OG Buffy.
I was very pissed off that there was no incest.
Yeah, it's like hinted at, but in the movie, it's as though like, no, it's all in the grandmother's mind because she's sick as fuck. It's like, no, he's definitely going to molest his sister later.
I mean, he doesn't need to be bathing her ever.
That is so fucking weird.
Like, that's so
no
weird.
Wonder she thought that.
Yeah, I would think that. I would be like, hey, why is he scrubbing
this you? Doesn't need to happen.
I mean, I wouldn't beat them, but I would like be like, maybe let's
would.
Not.
I would definitely. Oh, Bart.
Bart?
That's the guy. Bartholomew.
Bartholomew. All right. Well.
Bartholomew Bart Winslow, second husband of Corinne. He is a trophy husband and marries her thinking that she doesn't have any children. Kathy is shocked to discover that he's 8 years younger than Corinne, which we kind of have in Kitty/Cal in this book. I guess Kitty plus Fanny equals Vera.
Yeah. I would say, too, like, the thing that's a little bit for Fanny, but more so for Kitty, the thing that she does do well, V.C. Andrews, is she makes these characters that are fucking evil and insane. And then at the end, she's like, yeah, but, like,
sympathetic,
really sad.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, fuck, this is sad as shit.
It is hard when a person, it's the cycle of abuse. Like, the person is enacting the exact same forms of abuse on their children as their parents did with them because, like, duh, they are.
Yeah, because they're, like, here's the thing. I know that you and I are very introspective people. And I feel like a lot of people of our generation are, like, if we catch ourselves doing something like that, usually we'll be like, I don't like I did that.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I feel like for baby boomers especially and prior, it's always like, don't, like, that's weakness. Just like keep going forward.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a narcissistic thing. Of,
yes.
I don't do wrong things. So
exactly.
You're lying.
Exactly. You're lying.
I'm doing this for your own good.
Yes.
Although with Kitty, it is like she pretends she didn't do anything at times.
That.
She's crazy.
Yeah. Like, so this book is kind of like two books here.
Yeah, it is.
It's so different. Like, there's like a whole other world of stuff once she moves to.
And it's funny because she breaks it up into thirds. So there's the first, I mean, she doesn't break it up. She breaks it up into three parts, but it's not like equal.
Not at all.
The first part is when they're in Winter Row.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the when they're just poor, poor, poor.
So poor.
So poor. And then the second is Candlewick. That's when all the kids have been sold.
That part?
And she goes with Kitty and Cal. Yeah. So Luke, after Sarah skedaddles because she had a baby that was stillborn because Luke had syphilis.
Yes.
When she was pregnant, apparently. And then he comes back, and because there's no mom to take care of them anymore, and he has to recover from his horrible syphilis.
Yes.
He just sells them for $500 each. And Heaven does point out, like, you could have gotten better money for us.
Yeah.
Very true.
It is totally true.
She's like, what a fucking idiot.
She's like, I guess $500 seems a lot to hillbilly
dumb
like him.
Fuck, yeah. Dumb but fuck like, hillboy.
Everybody hates the Castile kids for being poor.
It's so infuriating.
Yeah. Everywhere like, they go, everyone's like, you're disgusting.
The only one who's not horrible to them in Winter Row is Miss Deal.
The teacher.
Your teacher.
Yeah.
Who fucking drops off the face of the planet.
Where did she go?
Did VC just not feel like addressing it? She's like, I don't know where Miss Deal fits in anymore. No, goodbye.
Maybe she goodbye interacts forever. With her in the next book.
Maybe. That would be interesting.
Because
doesn't she does go to Boston, doesn't she?
I think so, yeah. That's where her mother lived.
Yeah, maybe she sees Miss Deal again.
It's interesting, like, you can totally tell VC's hang-ups from these books. It's like she feels betrayed by the generation of her parents.
Yeah, she definitely has problems with her mom and dad.
Like, both of them.
Yeah, she has huge problems with her sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Also, like...
Also, apparently had siblings who wanted to fuck her. Like, what...
I have no
what
idea.
What is going on with her?
Okay.
Every one of these books is the same book. She's obsessed with it.
With Flowers in the Attic, at least you can say, like, no, like, they're trapped up there, and, like, their grandma keeps being like, you guys are gonna fuck, and then they just, it gets in their heads, and they're just like, what do they do? So they just end up being sexual.
Mm-hmm.
With this, it's, like, her relationship with Tom is... Okay, so like, she gets his boyfriend.
He definitely wants to marry her.
He
but
has
at the same
said
time
that.
Is like encouraging her to see Logan.
Yeah.
So he doesn't behave badly. It's just like very clear. Like, she keeps phrasing it as though he's jealous, which I guess
he is. Here's what I think.
I don't know.
Here's what I think. She writes Heaven as like kind of dumb. Like, when she moves to live with Cal and Kitty. And she's like, Cal is just like so nice to me. And like, we went to the movies together and we went to dinner together. I was like, oh no.
Like, it was so like when they went away, I was like, Cal's definitely going to molest her.
Yeah.
That's just what's going to happen. I was sort of surprised that she wasn't in love with him too.
Me too.
But yeah, she, which is a like common pitfall in these books we read, which is that like, how dumb do you make your main character when you're living in their head so that you're not giving everything away in the story?
But you're still planting seeds.
Because it's like, well, how do you let the reader know that Kitty is bad news?
Yeah.
When you can't just tell us that outright. Heaven has to see that. But she also has to see, she can't see it enough that she wouldn't make a different choice.
She has to see it but not process it. Basically. Yeah. So she's like, and also the stuff with Tom too. So I think that kind of bleeds over into how we see her relationship with Tom, which is like, I think there is going to be some Tom stuff in the next book. I just feel like it. I mean,
I certainly wouldn't discount the possibility or probability.
Yeah. But like, there's a lot of stuff where she's like, oh, like he just wanted to hold me and like we were cuddling in the water. Okay.
Like he says, I have the most perfect hair and eyes and smell.
And he told me that like he would marry me if he could, but he can't. So he would rather marry Miss Deal. And I'm like, what the fuck? So she starts dating Logan. They start hanging out, the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many scenes of like the three of them hanging out and Logan like on the shore of a swimming hole. And then her and Tom like enveloped in each other's embrace in the water. And Logan's just like, oh, cool. I was like, ew. Like,
yeah, I get it. I also want to embrace heaven. We're so alike.
I would be so weirded out and be like, you're so close to your brother.
Too close.
Also, when he's like, I want to walk you home, I was like, that's 7 miles.
Yeah. I was like, okay. You are dedicated to heaven. You are devoted.
See, the thing is, she's so beautiful, though.
Is she?
Yeah, she's very beautiful, but she doesn't know.
Oh, I don't remember reading that. She thinks
Fanny's prettier than her.
I don't remember reading that.
You don't remember reading that she's beautiful?
No, I don't. Which means I don't remember 2/3 of this book, which is just made up of describing how beautiful heaven is and how she doesn't see it.
She also doesn't see that she looks like a brown-haired version of her mom, who was so beautiful.
So beautiful.
Delicate.
But
not
she's so sad that she doesn't have silvery blonde hair. What the fuck is... How handsome could Luke actually be?
The fact that everyone wants to fuck him.
Every hill person, every hill woman in town, when they were teenagers, lost their fucking minds over him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, so he goes... So the timeline, a quick timeline of events. And as we announced before, there are plot summaries available on our Patreon account to anybody who gives it the $8 or above level.
Woohoo!
Which is a lot more detailed. But a quick rundown of events of like the timeline of things is like blah, blah, blah. Luke falls in love with Angel, who is Heaven's mom.
She's a city person.
Yeah. Even though he had already knocked up Kitty, and when Luke went away with Angel, Kitty tried to give herself an abortion and did succeed in losing the baby, but made it so that she could never have kids. Then Angel gets pregnant. She dies in childbirth, giving birth to Heaven. While she was pregnant, Luke fucked Sarah.
Yeah.
So then Angel dies. Luke marries Sarah to take care of Heaven and Tom. And then, and then they have Fanny. And then they have little 8-year-old Keith and little 7-year-old R. Jane.
Yes.
And then...
But meanwhile, he's fucking everybody all the time.
But he's still fucking everybody all the time. He visits this place called Shirley's Place. Clearly a whorehouse.
Yeah.
He's getting STDs up and down the coast. And so then Sarah gets pregnant. She doesn't want to be pregnant. Stillborn baby. She takes off. Luke sells everyone. Tom goes with a farmer who works him to the bone. Keith and R. Jane go with a very nice, actually rich couple.
They're
set up for life. Jackpot. God bless.
They're
the Cody and Carrie.
They're who?
The Cody and Carrie from Flowers in the Attic. They're the Cody and Carrie of this book.
But they're not like little... like apple-headed children with
strings. Jane is sickly all the time.
She is sickly, but then thank goodness this new family gets her the surgery she needs. She bounces back.
She had
back.
A hernia.
They're loving life.
It's great. So they go out. Fanny gets sold to the reverend who's in town, who's like obviously going to molest her.
Maybe the worst person to pick Fanny.
Yeah, because Fanny will have sex with anyone.
She has sex with him. She gets pregnant with his baby.
Yep. And... Heaven gets sold to Kitty and Cal. Kitty being the girl who can't have kids anymore. And she is taking Heaven to enact revenge on Luke and Angel. And she's abusive to Heaven because of it. Cal starts molesting Heaven because Kitty is withholding sex. Great job, Cal. And then Kitty gets cancer and they go back to Winter Row for her parents to take care of her. Luke is like, hey, sorry I sold you. Heaven's like, I don't accept your apology. Everybody else does because they're dumb. And then Heaven's going to go to Boston to find her mother's family.
And then that's Cal. Oh, right. And then the whole thing, too, was like, so at first she was like, oh, is Cal expected? Like, does he expect that once Kitty dies, like, I'm going to be with him? And then
and it seems like he really, truly does.
I know.
And she like feels trapped.
Yeah. She's like, oh, he's no.
He's so awful.
He's also
like so obsessed with her.
He's also very embarrassing. When he suggested that they go to the same college together, I was like, ew, I was like, Cal. What?
No.
No.
Horrible.
Horrible. As if.
Also, you have raised this girl for 2 years now because she gets old when she's 14 and he starts molesting her when she's 16. Ugh. But so every girl in town lost their damn mind over Luke.
Yes.
Fucking weird.
It is weird. What year did you think this book took place in?
I thought it was early 60s.
Okay.
So I wasn't too surprised when it was Sound of Music.
Yeah. And then I guess, what's his name? The boyfriend.
Logan?
Logan.
Yeah.
Logan was wearing hard contacts. It must have been then.
Yeah.
Because when he mentioned contacts, I was like, huh?
I was like, and why, how did it scratch your eye?
So it must have been hard contacts. Oh my God.
He's like blind for a while was so like random and unnecessary. Like he goes to visit Heaven and he's like, I'm wearing dark glasses. Don't you appreciate how hard it was for me to get here? And she's like, please don't look at my house. And he's like, I can't even see. And she's like, get the fuck away from here.
Also, okay, like speaking as somebody who is legally blind, I'm just picturing like wandering 7 miles, unable to see anything. Like just like, huh?
And he is with Tom, I believe.
Who is like still guiding him?
What is he leading him for seven miles?
Then he goes up into the house and he's just like, oh, nice place. And it's literally like grandpa is like dying on a chair and he's like, oh, I love your place. And it's so like
it's dirty as hell. It is so truly dirty. A one-room shack. It's disgusting. How on earth they all stay relatively clean is beyond me.
They don't. I mean, Kitty should not have bathed her in bleach.
Oh, I think she should have. I thought that was reasonable.
Yeah.
It made a lot of sense.
Like literally boiling bleach.
And yeah, I definitely would have filled a scalding hot tub with Lysol and stuck my new ward in it.
Yeah.
And scrubbed her skin.
Put
and
like lice poison burning, in her hair.
Yeah, lice shampoo in her hair.
Let it go in her eyes.
Yeah, let it go in her eyes. Yeah, like, because you got to get that skin off.
You just got to get rid of that.
That
dirty
skin is hill person
skin. Yeah,
she has hill skin.
The second that what's her name? So Kitty and Cal come to the house, and poor Heaven is supposed to pick between Kitty and Cal and this like other couple,
and it's not fair because she is 14-year-old and she is ignorant to the way.
She doesn't know anything.
To the ways of the world. So she doesn't know she should have chosen the actually wealthy, stodgy couple.
I know.
And they should have smiled at her.
They should have.
And so instead she chooses just garish ass Kitty.
She's like, oh, Kitty's pretty. And then she like looks closer and she's like, oh, she's kind of scary looking.
Yeah.
And then Kitty's like kind of being like, she keeps like saying very obvious, like, I know your dad shit.
Yeah. And Heaven's like, I wonder if she knows my dad.
And then in the car, Kitty's like, what does she keep saying?
Loose.
She keeps like going off about something, and Cal's like, please stop doing that.
Like, Kitty, we talked about this.
Something about getting her clean, and then it was something else. Like something that was very like, uh-oh.
Well, it was like, it was to do with the fact that she bought Heaven to enact revenge on Angel and Luke.
That's what it is. She mentions something about her mom. Remember, she's like, oh, I knew your mom or something like that. And he's
and
like,
Cal's
don't.
Like, we like, no, don't talk about this.
Okay. So everything truly bananas begins to happen when she moves into that house in Candlewick. First of all, they don't have a bedroom for her.
That was so fucking crazy. I was like, this is very counterintuitive, Kitty. What are you doing?
So she's like, okay, she's like, I don't trust these hill girls.
Like, all hill girls just want to fuck, fuck, fuck. They have no morals.
So she's like, let's make
heaven sleep in between us.
And also, I'm going to wear very skimpy lingerie.
And make you bone out? So that you have
boner when you're sleeping next to our new adopted daughter.
And Cal's like, can we please not? As a way
to train you to have self-control. That's crazy. Instead of like what it actually is, which is like training him to associate his erections with heaven.
With heaven.
You fucking idiot.
And this continues for like a month. Like, they're sleeping with heaven in between them every night for like a month. And then finally...
Was it that long?
It was a long time.
Oh, I thought it was just a few days.
And then remember...
Jesus Christ.
Cal, like the way Cal makes her be like, she gets to sleep downstairs, is he cuddles.
Yeah, I heaven. Was like, oh my God.
I was clutching my pearls.
Yeah, he like starts touching her hair and like nuzzling her.
Like, is like a little koala on a eucalyptus tree with her. And he like goes around her.
And he sees this and he's like, maybe you should give her own bed then. And she's like, go down to the sofa. And Heaven's like, great, good.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Also, the weird thing is too, is like, for someone so crazy, they get away with a lot of stuff with her. Like,
yeah.
So she's like, I guess it's on Saturdays she teaches her ceramics class.
Yeah. That was a very funny reveal that like she just made all her ceramics from molds.
Yeah. So she's like not that talented.
And then but when confronts her about it, Kitty's like, well, I made the molds, so I'm still talented.
Also, like, what a strange detail that like
it is.
This house is such a house of horrors.
Yeah.
Everything is white. Except for like ceramic animals.
There are like literally billions.
Literally like infinite
billions. There are an infinite number
of ceramic animals in different sizes and doing like, different things.
She describes 1 billion.
It's little. A long book.
I was like, I am not gonna sit here and read all these descriptions.
I skimmed that part
of these fucking ceramic animals. I have abuse to get to.
Yeah, I've got incest to read. So it's like there's like frogs like holding plants and like
there's
cats.
So many. There are too
painting
many.
Painting on easels.
How many do you actually think there were? I'm going to guess 200.
Yeah, I was going to guess like 300.
It's all around the house.
They're everywhere and some of them are small and they're like covering like mantles or covering like shelves, like everything. Like there's no other stuff. It's just those.
Yeah, that's all there is. And plants.
And they're all over.
And Heaven accidentally waters all the fake plants too.
That was pretty funny. I liked that.
That was funny.
She's like,
I was like, I feel you.
It was funny too when
How do you know? You're hill trash.
You're hill trash. You're hill scum.
Hill
scummiest
scum.
Of the scum.
I was like, stop being mean to hill people.
I know.
This is so mean.
I felt so bad. Like,
poverty's real.
I know. So
Appalachia,
Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River,
coat of many colors.
Hey guys, Kelly here. I wanted to take a quick break from the show to talk to you about one of our sponsors, Everlane. Do you wish that you just had a basic set of clothes in your wardrobe that always looked good and was high quality and gave you kind of that like, I'm cool and maybe famous because I'm wearing really high quality, suitable for almost anything clothes? This is where Everlane has you covered. You shouldn't have to pay premium prices for mid-range quality. They make luxury basics at ethical factories and no retail markups. They're radically transparent about every step in their process. With their responsible sourcing and ethical factories, you actually know where your clothes are coming from, how they're made, and how they price each item. No other company is as direct and open about their business as Everlane. They tell you their real costs, so you know you're never overpaying. They want you to know what you're paying for and why. And this is because Everlane sells directly to you. Their prices are 30 to 50% lower than traditional retailers. Everlane's clothes look better, cost less, and last longer. I just got all my Everlane stuff in the mail, and I tried all of them on, and all of them fit amazing. And like when I put it on, you can just tell that it is better quality and that it's going to last a long time. And it's classic styles that you know are just going to suit whatever you're doing in your life. So some of the favorite things that I got were the square-toe Chelsea boot in cedar, the cotton collarless belted shirt dress in red and white stripe. I love, love, love the Renew long puffer in brick. I'm definitely going to be wearing that over the holidays. Okay, they have this authentic stretch high-rise skinny ankle jean, and I got it in washed black. Let me tell you something. Those jeans fit perfectly, like look amazing. I had rando people telling me that my jeans were amazing. People don't normally comment on jeans to strangers. Honestly, their stuff is really, really nice, and you're gonna look dope and amazing. And they're exactly what you're looking for. No frills, just quality. And right now, you can check out our personalized collection at everlane.com/teencreeps. Plus, you'll get free shipping on your first order. That's everlane.com/teencreeps. everlane.com/teencreeps. And now, back to the show.
She's like living the worst version of Dolly Parton's life.
Yeah. Hey, did you hear about that miniseries they're doing?
They're doing a miniseries? I know they made some TV movies.
So they're doing a miniseries. It's very strange and I don't know how to think about it. I guess I'll just have to see it. Of like each episode, it's an anthology, I think.
Okay.
And each piece is inspired by a Dolly Parton song. So it's going to be like a Jolene one, which I'm interested in Jolene. Very sad, probably.
There are a lot of very... I'm interested in the one where she's a lady mule driver.
Oh!
I wonder if they'll make that.
We'll see. I'm interested in maybe Bargain Store. Do you know that one?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah.
I feel like most of her songs are sad.
Yeah, or where the one that's just about a guy named Travis. Maybe Trevor.
Trevor.
I'll look it up. Trevor.
Me and little Andy?
No, it wasn't Andy. I don't know why I decided this is very important to look up what this man's name is.
What's it called?
So stupid. I think that is the name of the song. That's why I'm like,
really?
Frustrated.
I'm looking at all the ones that have names in them. I'm not really seeing them.
Maybe not.
Here you come again. Bah, 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 da, da. Do you know that's one of the only songs that she didn't write?
No.
Yeah. When I was listening to it, I was like, this doesn't really sound like her. It's a little like more cheesy than what she usually does. Looking better than a body has a right to. You did, 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 did.
I can't find the... a compilation album that I have. Oh, wait. Maybe this? Joshua. I knew it was one of those 90s
Joshua.
Boy names. Joshua.
All right.
Anyway, Joshua. The Joshua episode.
But yeah, like I felt like the second half of the book it's so different. And it's not only because, like, I feel like so much of the book in the first half took place in that cabin. So it was, like, literally one room.
Yeah.
Because, like, for a while, the kids are legit starving to death.
Yes.
Because the dad, Luke, is, like, bye and leaves. And then...
And usually he comes home just as they're running out of food with more food.
Mm-hmm.
But after Sarah leaves, he just doesn't come back for a long ass time.
And they just start stealing food.
Yeah. And then he does come back with a bunch of food. And again, he doesn't come back for a long ass time.
Yeah.
And they start starving again. And then when he finally does come back, he sells them.
Yep. And the way he does it is so horrifying too, because he sells them like one at a time.
Yeah.
Or aside from.
Well, the parents didn't plan on taking both Keith and Arjane.
No.
Also, quick note about Arjane. Her name is Jane.
Mm-hmm.
And the really fun, definitely a full story anecdote about why they call her Arjane is because Heaven held Jane a lot and Fanny went, fuck you, she's Arjane too. Let me hold her. And then they just called her Arjane from then on. Okay.
Yeah, that seems like a... Also, don't reward Fanny's behavior.
Yeah.
Like, also, okay. I know that Fanny is supposed to be a bad, like, quote, not a villain, but like a pseudo villain.
She's an agent of chaos.
Yes. She's so fucking annoying.
She's really annoying. I found Vera also very annoying.
Yeah.
And she wasn't, it was like, I'm all for Vera when she is like balls to the wall crazy. But when she's like Fanny,
mm-hmm.
I was so bored. I was like, I don't care. Somebody help this poor little girl, but I don't want to read about her.
Yeah. That was the thing with Fanny too. I was like, this girl is troubled and someone needs to help her.
Like, she would take her clothes off to try to get Logan away from heaven.
Yeah. And she would literally
just strip down.
Just like run over and be like, Logan, I'm so glad that you saw me. And like assault him. She would like jump up and kiss him and like try and like get him to touch her tits and shit. And he was like, please stop. I don't want to touch you. Which I bet you, though, there's going to be some drama in the next book with her because she grew up to be so beautiful.
It definitely, it seems like maybe something happened and then Logan truly started avoiding her.
Mm-hmm.
And is just telling Heaven that like nothing has ever happened, or maybe he really was avoiding her and poor Heaven is just so insecure and broken by Cal.
Yeah.
That she can't believe him.
It. Cal.
Cal grooms the shit out of her.
He does.
It was so fucked up. So that by the time he's actually molesting her, she feels like she owes him so much and that she led him on.
Also, she he also turns her. I mean, she already is against Kitty because Kitty's so evil.
Mm-hmm.
But he like successfully gets her to blame Kitty
for everything he's
what
doing.
He does. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, if you had just given him sex once in a while, he wouldn't have done this to me.
That is so harmful.
Mm-hmm. It's like,
that's not an excuse for anything. Like, if you truly can't handle it and you, I'll even forgive it if you cheat. Like,
yeah.
If it's a real problem and you cheat or you leave the person because you just can't handle it.
Sure.
I can't blame you for leaving. Like, that's a huge hang up for you.
Mm-hmm.
But to be like, well, you say no to me all the time, so obviously I'm going to fuck our 16-year-old girl we bought.
Exactly. Well, and also the other thing, too, is like, yeah, I mean, once you involve somebody else and you're like, well, it's your fault that I did this to this person. It's like, no, I didn't make you do that.
No one made you do that.
I mean, like, you could have just left me. You could have removed yourself from this girl.
Yeah.
But and it's kind of unclear why he stays with her, I guess, because he owes her money.
But also it's implied that like he really does love Kitty. But yeah, he says that he's $25,000 in debt to her because she put up the money for his business.
He should just run. He should run, grow a mustache, put on hats.
Yeah.
Classic.
Classic. The way that you leave anybody, you grow a mustache, you put on hats.
Multiple hats.
You live in another state.
Yeah. Just cross the state line.
Top hats. Cowboy hats.
A beanie.
Little baby sunbonnet.
Baby bonnet.
Baby bonnet.
Like an aviator's hat.
Like the propeller cap.
Oh,
yeah. All of those at the same time.
Those are all the hats.
And then you are legally divorced.
That's how you divorce somebody in Arkansas.
Yep. Georgia.
In Georgia.
Hey guys, this is Kelly here. We wanted to take a quick break from the show to talk to you about one of our sponsors, Outdoor Voices. You know that I love my active lifestyle. I like to run around on trails. I like to go hiking. I like to work out in the gym. I like to go running. But the thing is, harder, faster, stronger is not necessarily always better. This is where Outdoor Voices got you, boo. Outdoor Voices makes high-quality active apparel to take you from gym life to everyday life seamlessly and fashionably. You know I'm all about that athleisure, baby. They design gear for doing things, being active, having fun. They integrate fun into everything they do. The Outdoor Voices community moves their bodies to work out their minds. How many times have I said to you, go hike around, go breathe some fresh air. It will help your tiny soul. Outdoor Voices encourages living happier, healthier, more sustainable lives through daily exercise of any form. But did you know that a really great part of Outdoor Voices is their community? Outdoor Voices regularly hosts events across the country to keep you doing things and meeting new friends along the way. Because it's all about having friends doing things with you because that increases the fun. Duh. Outdoor Voices products are available for both men and women. Their clothing is made to sweat in. So you could be doing anything. You could be hoping to add versatile pieces to your wardrobe. Or you could be looking for an activity-specific collection like running shorts. Outdoor Voices has gear for everything. Now let's talk a little bit about fabrics. Outdoor Voices clothing is engineered for performance and designed for having fun, with the fabric offered for every single type of activity. They've got signature textured compression that hugs, sculpts, and supports as you hike, jog, and walk. Tech Sweat is a cool-to-the-touch material that wicks sweat and keeps you dry during high-intensity workouts. And Freeform is a cozy and soft material, perfect for stretchy activities like yoga. I just got myself the Tech Sweat 7/8 two-tone leggings and the sweaty tank top. And let me tell you, these are great for, I want to look like I'm going to work out, so I'm just going to like walk around outside and be comfortable. Or if I want to go running, these leggings are amazing. They're so comfortable and they're like way flattering. They're super cute for just like running around town or for getting in that cardio, however you enjoy doing it. I love them. And they really do wick that sweat away from your body. Because let me tell you, I get very sweaty when I run. So let's get you guys in on this train. For 20% off your first order of $100 or more, visit outdoorvoices.com/teencreeps and use promo code teencreeps at checkout. That's right. That's 20% off your first order of $100 or more. Go to outdoorvoices.com/teencreeps. That's outdoorvoices.com/teencreeps. And enter promo code teencreeps at checkout. Get moving. And now back to the show.
They're in Georgia because they're by Atlanta.
That's right. Because the Georgia license plate.
Yeah. So it actually isn't the Appalachian Mountains.
What kind of mountains is it? Well, no, because they lived far. No, they didn't live in Georgia,
She said something early on about how like she doesn't want to be in Atlanta.
Because I got some something West Virginia vibes from them.
I thought for sure West Virginia, Tennessee, you know, Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah.
But Atlanta is name checked early on in the book.
Yeah.
So I think she's like, I'm going to run away to Atlanta.
Maybe that's just the nearest big city.
Maybe.
I guess. Because Atlanta is a big city. So,
yeah. But you could be like Nashville.
You could literally be like New York for how far away it is. Make New York City.
At one point, they are like, wow, do you think they took Keith and our Jane to Florida?
Oh, yeah. They're like, wow, Florida.
Looking up maps. I want to see how close.
Because I feel like they could have probably been in, because they are in the mountains.
Yeah, I figured like Mississippi. Well, I guess it could be Alabama. Could be Chattahoochee National Forest.
You know what, actually, Atlanta, they could have been in North Carolina. I could see that. Like in these mountains here in the Nantahala National Forest or Chattahoochee National Forest.
Yeah, I was going to say super, super North Georgia.
Yeah.
Probably not. Get out of here. Stop it. Stop it, Apple Maps. Stop that. More likely South Carolina.
Well, I was thinking that little tippy tip of North Carolina. See how it goes? It's like directly north of Atlanta.
That's not North Carolina.
Yeah, it is.
That's not. That's South Carolina.
No, over by Asheville. This is riveting, we know. Look at Asheville.
I'm not seeing Asheville.
Oh my God. Okay, do you see Charlotte?
In North Carolina?
Charlotte's North Carolina, right?
Yeah. But why would they be talking about Atlanta why would it be North Carolina when South Carolina is in between North Carolina and Georgia?
No, okay, it's not. There's a very tippy tip of North Carolina. Okay, do you see Charlotte?
Yes.
Okay, go left.
Okay.
Go left.
Okay.
Do you see Asheville?
No, but I'm not zoomed in enough, probably.
Zoom in more. Do you see Hickory?
No.
Oh, my God.
What are you looking at?
Look at this.
Are you using Google Maps?
I'm using Google Maps. I don't use that Apple Maps bullshit. This is what you get with Google Maps. You get accuracy.
You're crazy.
No. Charlotte.
You're crazy.
Look at Charlotte. Charlotte's on the border, right? Now go scroll left. Asheville. Do you see that?
But why wouldn't it be?
Now keep scrolling left. There's a little tippy tip. It's where.
But if she's talking about Atlanta so much, why wouldn't it be by like Chattanooga?
Oh, right next to Chattanooga. So see Chattanooga? If you scroll to the right a little bit, that's the state border between North Carolina and Tennessee. So Tennessee and North Carolina border each other. And they border each other along the Nantahala National Forest.
Okay, well, my guess is still that they're in Georgia.
I think they could be Chattahoochee National Forest. Yeah, I think they could be up there.
Yeah, because like, you know what?
Do you see it now?
No. Oh. But I had another idea.
Where do you think they are?
Well, I was like, well, maybe Winter Row is just an actual town.
Oh, is it?
I don't know. I'm doing a search. That's what it's called, right? This is so silly.
West Virginia.
I am desperate.
They live in West Virginia.
Okay.
I just found it on the wiki.
Okay.
It's 1965 when the book starts. You're right, 60s. She's living in poverty with her rather large and discontented family in a shack in the hills of West Virginia. I totally got those West Virginia vibes.
Yeah.
So
that's so fucking, or Kentucky. That's so fucking weird. Then why does she talk about Atlanta? Like, that's an obvious, like, it could have been like anywhere else.
Yeah.
That's so weird that it would be at least. So how the fuck far did they drive then?
It was like hours, hours and hours.
That's crazy.
So I'm going to do from Atlanta. Because I felt like they were in the, hold on. Okay, so they're in West Virginia. So I could see them being, so they're probably in the Monongalia National Forest, probably. Life is old there, older than the trees. Younger than the mountains, blowing like a breeze. Yeah, probably there. And then sure.
I didn't know West Virginia butted up against Ohio like that. And Pennsylvania. I completely forgot all geography from elementary school.
Oh, I didn't know Kentucky was right there. Okay. Yeah,
look at that.
So yeah. Okay, I need you to see Asheville though.
Oh, Kentucky.
I need you to see it.
Right next
to Lindsay, I need you to see Asheville, North Carolina. Okay.
I see it.
Do you see it now?
I see it.
Do you see how it's right above Atlanta? Even the little tippy tip of North Carolina. Look. Nantahala.
It is not.
Oh my God. Look. Look west of Asheville. Southwest of Asheville. There's like the Nantahala National Forest. That is above Atlanta. You're upsetting the dog.
He's having a bad dream because you're bullying me.
I'm triggering him.
It is not like right above
Atlanta. It is pretty.
I was saying Chattanooga. Chattanooga is right above Atlanta. I was saying Chattahoochee National Forest.
Oh, yeah. Chattahoochee is right above.
I said Chattahoochee.
Chattanooga, I would say, is as far away as Nantahala National Forest. What are these little towns here? This is riveting, I know. Silva.
Chattanooga is absolutely closer than Asheville.
No, not Asheville. Nantahala National Forest. Let's look at Murphy. That's Murphy is in North Carolina. I would say it's as close to Atlanta as Chattanooga. There's probably some like we have some.
Yeah, but like, why are you suddenly bringing Murphy into this? Murphy was not being discussed when I said Chattanooga and Chatta whatever.
I know.
Chattahoochee National Forest.
I didn't know there were towns inside of Nantahala National Forest.
You're arguing for something in North Carolina.
Murphy is in North Carolina.
Yeah, but we weren't talking about that. I said something that was way closer. Murphy. I was saying Chattahoochee, and you were like insisting on Asheville.
How dare you bring that up?
Insisting on Asheville.
Warren is even closer. Oh my God, Warren is on the border.
You cannot
of Georgia
just suddenly start naming towns that are closer as though it's an argument for Asheville, North
what
Carolina.
About Marble.
No.
Marble.
What
Andrews.
About
Andrews?
Chattahoochee National Forest, which is what I fucking said.
We're arguing as
Let
if these
the
are
record
our favorite places.
That Chattahoochee is the far preferable location.
What about Culberson?
No. I don't
what
care
about
what you say.
My favorite
You were
country.
Arguing Asheville.
My favorite.
And I was arguing Chattahoochee National Forest, which is obviously closer than Atlanta.
My favorite.
And yes, we are both wrong. It was West Virginia, which is a feeling that you cannot just keep naming towns. We were both had a West Virginia feeling originally. Our original
Did you know there's a
feeling
town called Dumptown?
Right. We are moving there. And we are having this fight for the rest of our lives.
Can you imagine? We're like 72.
Dumptown. Woo. Fuck Ducktown. I am moving to.
No.
No. Fuck Ducktown.
Chattanooga.
I am moving to Soddy Daisy, Tennessee.
Soddy Daisy. S-O-D-D-Y space Daisy.
Soddy Daisy.
Soddy Daisy. What about Glen Mary, Elgin, Rugby, Robbins, Lansing?
I'm moving to Lookout Grove, Mountain.
Wartburg.
I'm moving to Fort Oglethorpe. I will see your ass.
I'll see you in Ozone. I'll see you in Crab Orchard. 18 Crabs Orchard.
I'll see your ass in South Rossville.
Oh, what? I think I've moved into different
Chickamauga areas. And Chattanooga National Mall? Is that what that means? I will be enrolling in Covenant College, which is right near Chickamauga and Chattanooga National Mall. And I will see your ass there to have this argument forever.
Listen, we will have this argument via post.
I am clearly...
I will be writing to you.
I was more correct.
I will be writing to you from...
I was more correct.
The Great Smoky Mountains National Park.
I will be moving to Cleveland, Georgia, right on the edge of Chattahoochee National Forest. Thank you.
Okay, fine. I will be writing to you.
I'm moving to Blue Ridge.
I'm moving... Oh, Blue Ridge Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I will be writing to you from Damascus. That is... Oh, wait. This might be in a completely different place. Oh, my God. I'm in Kentucky now. Oh, Lord. Listen.
Fuck you. I'm moving to Duluth. And I will be living on Sugarloaf Parkway.
I'm moving to Galax. I'm moving to Christianburg. Fancy Gap. Oh, that's it.
Oh,
Fancy Gap.
Fancy Gap.
She's
good.
Moving to Fancy Gap.
I am moving to Duluth still.
Still
where
Duluth.
I will work at the Infinite Energy Center. And at night, I will visit either Frankie's, the Steakhouse, or Tin Lizzie's Cantina.
Here's what I will tell you.
Yes.
I am moving to Meadows of Dan.
I'm a Panera Bread.
Oh, they have Panera.
Oh, a Panera Bread.
Here's what I will tell you. I'll be moving to Meadows of Dan. I'll be enrolling my children into Meadows of Dan Elementary School. I will be working at the Mabry Mill Restaurant and Gift Shop. Oh, Blue Ridge Parkway, though. We'll be close.
Oh, that's nice.
That's
so that we can hate each other from a closer distance.
It's just
I will
one
be
row.
Moving to Sugar Hill, where I will be working at the Sugar Hill Bakery and Cafe.
I'm going to be moving to Vesta.
And I will be enrolling my children in Great Beginnings of Sugar Hill Elementary School.
Holy shit, who was Dan? Now there's Dan River Primitive Baptist Church over in Vesta.
Dan.
Meadows
Some
of
guy
Dan.
Named
Dan
Dan
River?
Just started a church.
Dan.
Dan, what are you doing?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dan, can you start a church, please?
Hey, Dan.
Dan.
Dan, I was looking for you over in that meadow. I could not. We said 2:30.
Dan, I was over in Lula.
Dan.
And I was looking for your church and I couldn't find one. So I'm going to need you to start one ASAP.
Dan, I was driving up and down Jeb Stuart Highway and I could not find a church. So I need you to start one. But can it be primitive?
Dan,
please?
I was in the neighborhood of Belton. And I got on Athens and I took W Country Line Road and I could not get to your church. Dan.
And I was talking to those Wood brothers. They started a racing museum over off the 58. It's right next to the Virginia Motorsports Museum.
I had to pull off the 51 and stop at Annapolis Pizza.
Listen, I had to get on the 8 and I had to get it stop in at Moody Funeral Services. And I stopped at the El Rancho.
Oh, that's nice. Unfortunately, I stopped at J. Smith Septic Tank Service. And I was like, what am I doing here?
Unfortunately.
I don't need septic services. So I drove back up and I went to North Georgia Processing, which apparently has something to do with food.
Are we ever going to tour out there?
We don't need to. We're from there.
We're from there. We know everywhere out there.
I think our strongest base of listeners is probably right next to the Chattahoochee National Forest.
Let us know about Dan.
Yeah. If you could just give us an update and let us know how his church is doing, because I
haven't heard from him.
I haven't heard from him.
I'm worried.
And I've moved to Ulari.
Well, I mean, I've moved all the way. You moved to Uharry. I was just looking at that. Well, I moved over to Bisco.
Oh, cool.
You know what? I moved over to Star. Because that's what I am. I'm a star.
I'm sorry. I moved to Rome.
Oh. I moved to Ether.
Rome, Georgia. Possibly. Or possibly Tennessee. Things got a little mixed up. Listen, oh, I live in Alpharetta now.
We don't know what state we're in. I moved to Farmer. Ooh, I moved to Healing Springs.
Farmer's nice.
Oh, High Rock Lake.
I'm sorry. I have to visit Alpharetta City Hall real quick. It is lovely. Mm. It's beautiful. I'm going to visit the website real quick.
I moved over to Faith.
Oh, that's nice.
It's
Does
nice
Faith
there.
Hill live there?
Only 6 months out of the year.
Oh, okay.
And then I work over at Granite Quarry. And then I recreation over at Corbin Hills Golf Course.
Well, I'm definitely settled in Alpharetta because, get this, it truly has it all. A unique blend of excellent schools, incredible job opportunities, great shopping and cultural events, and abundant green space. You know I've been looking for that green space.
You do. You love green space.
I love green space.
I'm not getting too much green space over. I moved over to, Forest City, which you would think would have a lot of green, but there's none to be found.
Really?
No, it's so far from the nearest state park is South Mountains.
Well, you know what? Let me set you up with my real estate guy in Alpharetta.
You know what? Actually, I'm looking at
Nebo. You know
what's
weird? His name is Dan.
Oh, shit. Ask him about the meadow and the primitive church.
No, not all Dans know each other, Kelly.
Hashtag not all Dans.
Has nothing to do with George.
Here's the thing. That concludes
the loop.
Our tour of the South.
So anyway, Heaven's a batshit crazy book.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
For sure the second half is the craziest because it starts with immediately the boiling bleach bath.
Yep.
Then the sleeping in between a couple.
Yeah. And then she's being worked like a slave.
Like her list of things she has to do every day.
Lasts index and index cards long.
And
what was that last index card that she lost?
Never found it.
It never gets addressed, right?
I wish we had known.
What a stupid thing.
I know.
To introduce and then not pay off.
Because it could have been like, I don't know, something really interesting or crazy. Or
yeah, because Heaven is like so taken aback by how many chores she has that she starts crying before she gets to the last index card and it disappears. And it's like that never has consequences.
And then she's like, I'll ask Cal about it. But then she gets distracted because Cal. Okay.
In her googly eyes.
Cal is like, first he's like, you know, Kitty doesn't like movies because she doesn't like to sit still. Also, Kitty doesn't like eating fancy food because she only likes fast food. And I need someone that can like really meet me on my level.
Mm-hmm. And you're so mature for your age.
Oh, and then he keeps like wanting to teach her things, which I was like, oh no. Like when he was like, I can't wait to teach you about the culinary world of like fine dining.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, uh-oh.
Never a good sign.
Never good.
Oh,
they get away with a lot.
Yes, they do.
Because he buys her an entire bedroom set.
Yeah. And then you know to be nervous when Cal is like, I will protect you from Kitty, but in none of the ways that matter. All he really does is treat her well when Kitty's not around, whereas what he should be doing is going to the authorities.
Yeah.
Because he and his wife purchased a human.
Yeah.
That they are now working like a slave, who he will then fuck, and is being abused.
The thing that was like so, so if he's like, oh God. So the moment that like, it's like kind of obvious to us that Kitty kind of knows what's going on, is they're out gardening. Also, they keep going on these vacations and stuff that, like, Kitty doesn't want to do.
And so if Kitty doesn't have fun, they don't have fun.
They don't have fun. So then they're gardening in the backyard, and Kitty doesn't like to garden, so she's just, like, inside. She's upstairs. Then, like, Cal is, like, takes this moment to be like, Heaven, if you feel uncomfortable or if she hurts
she's ever
you,
physical with you,
call me and I'll protect you. And then he like holds her and she's like, oh, shit. She looks up. Kitty can see them. And she's like, I need you to know that like I can call you, but it's going to take you time to get here. It's not going to take her time to beat the shit out of me.
And specifically what she says is, but she will have like torn all the skin off my back by the time you can get home.
Yes.
And he's like, oh,
it's like he's never even thought of this. He's so selfish.
He's pure selfishness.
He's like, and I think VC
he's like,
meant
oh,
for this.
I got a little sex doll.
Yeah.
My wife bought me a sex doll. Wasn't that nice?
I think VC meant for this. Like, he is one of the true villains of this story.
Yeah.
Because he manipulates her. She's like in such a shitty place where she needs help from anyone she can. And mm-hmm. so he will like offer her this fake help of like, oh, I'll buy you pretty dresses that actually fit because Kitty tries to buy you big clothes. And like, oh, I'll take you to dinner. I'll take you to the movies. I'll do all this stuff for you. But then also I'm going to like molest you.
And I'm going to keep you in this house where my wife is abusing you.
Also, remember how he doesn't, she tries to go on dates with guys and then he's like, what? You would go to the movies with guys? Who am I supposed to go to the movies with?
He really sucks.
Yeah.
And I kind of lost my train of thought. Oh, that's what I was going to say, is she feels like she owes him so much that she lets him do whatever he wants to her. So fucking sad.
It's really
sad. But when Logan puts his arms around her and like brushes his hand on her breast, she like flips out because she can't stand to be touched that way.
Also, she's
been so damaged, but she has to like, but she's been groomed to submit herself to Cal, but is now disgusted by the touch of somebody she does actually love and is sexually attracted to.
And
it's
she,
like classic kid who's been abused.
Also, like what Cal does to her is like dirty, like basically quote dirties her in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of plants the seed of like, I'm the only one that can like, that will love you the way you're loved.
Yeah. And you can't leave me.
And then, so then she's like, oh, I've been spoiled by Cal. So Logan's not going to want me. I feel disgusted. Like I'm reminded of Cal touching me when you touch me.
Yeah.
So she like flinches away from him. The thing is, Logan's nice. He is boring.
Sure.
But that's like the best you're going to get in a V.C. Andrews story. Yeah. Like, a guy that's boring is, yeah. Oh, that's the best you can get.
Great. A guy who's boring and worships you.
And isn't related to you.
Yeah. That's, I mean, triple threat.
Triple. Let's go, girls.
Yeah.
For sure. He is a triple threat.
Yeah. He's a V.C. triple threat.
I am so curious about the next book. Like, I wonder.
She goes to her Boston family. They're equally crazy.
I bet you they're evil and more people rich.
Try to molest her and possibly Tom. Oh, and then she. So like when Kitty's. So they go back to Winterow because Kitty, like, oh, were you like so confused when suddenly she was sick and wouldn't talk to them?
I was like,
did I skip a part?
I was very confused because I was like. But and then after a while of reading it, I was like, oh, there must be like an explanation that we'll all understand. And then like, there wasn't.
A little bit. Like, I mean, at least they said, so it turned out that Kitty, it was so weird the way that V.C. Andrews was breaking it down, though, because it was like, oh, my God, Kitty is suddenly ill and we don't know why and she won't talk. And we've taken her to the doctor and they've done so many tests and they can't find anything. I guess we'll have to take her back to Winterow for her family to take care of her because I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And Cal can't keep paying for nurses. And also, he's just been like fucking and fucking and fucking
he's
me
unbearable.
While Kitty has been catatonic. So they go back and they're still. And then all of a sudden, Heaven's like, hang on a tick. I'm remembering back to a scene that I didn't relate in the book of Kitty finding a lump in her breast. Oh, she has breast cancer, didn't want them to perform a double mastectomy.
I think it's like a soft T.
Mastectomy.
Yeah.
And so she like she's had like a nervous breakdown a bit and is just withdrawing and wants to die rather than lose her breasts. But it was so weird to be like, you know what? I just remembered a scene that wasn't in the book.
That
I
was
like, what?
I was when she's like, Cal, I think I know maybe the reason for this. And mm-hmm. then tells the story, which of course it's the reason for this. But then also I was like, when did this happen?
Yeah, you can't just like this isn't like a twist that makes sense in a book.
Yeah.
Like we should have seen this happen. You can't just suddenly throw this in like it took place when like we've been reading and it didn't take place.
And the thing is we weren't
and it's not like Heaven if it was like Cal saying like, oh, she did freak out about a lump in her breast, could that have been it? And I'd be like, yeah, Cal's a fucking idiot, this makes perfect sense. But to have Heaven suddenly remember a scene that wasn't in the book, it was so weird,
especially because it seemed to be a fairly notable scene.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, average breakfast, I forgot about it. It was like a big
thing.
In
her head.
Because she was screaming. I guess she's screaming all the time. But she was screaming.
Yeah. Whatever. So that's weird.
That was weird.
So that's just a thing that's weird in addition to all the other things.
Do you think
Cal will come back in Dark Angel?
I'm guessing not. Yes. I'm done with him. I don't need him anymore.
Oh, yeah. He's the worst.
He's not even like exciting or salacious or like, he's just gross, manipulative, and like pretty embarrassing.
And like fucking like can of beige paint.
He's so boring.
He's like nothing. He's nothing at all.
All he is an older man. That's it.
Yeah. He's just like this little paper doll who molests Heaven.
Yeah.
I was like at the end because then at the end. So when Luke has come by and apologized to Kitty and now Kitty's like, Al is forgiven.
Yeah.
And he's apologized to Heaven and Tom and everyone in a note. And Tom is like, all is forgiven. And Heaven's like, what? And so all these people are forgiving Luke just because he apologized and is like, oh, I married someone new. I want you to come live with me now. I'm so sorry about selling you.
Doesn't that sound familiar to like what people expect nowadays after they commit acts of sexual violence?
Except, honestly, that was way more of an apology than anyone is willing to give who's been
nowadays. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like Louis C.K. didn't apologize like that. Harvey Weinstein, I don't think we...
Nothing.
He just went to jail.
Yeah.
Who else didn't apologize? Aziz Ansari, nothing from him. What's another one? There's a big one sticking in my head where it was like, that was a total non-apology, you fucking idiot. Just apologize.
I mean, Johnny Depp has never.
He's never said even close to anything.
No. I'm sorry.
I'm just thinking of the ones who have tried to say something whatsoever.
Because this actually was a like, I am sorry. I was wrong.
I was fucked up. I've gotten better. I'm like, I'm healthy now. Mm-hmm. I married someone new. I'm making changes in my life. Please come visit me so I can make things right. That's way more of an apology than anybody has made.
That being
in
said.
In real life, in current times.
If we were, you know, if. I was Heaven, I would still be like, yeah, but fuck you. I don't want you in my life.
I'm not saying forgive him. I'm just saying at least he wrote an actual apology. Yeah. And then Kitty made him put down where Keith and our Jane are. And so now she can go find them too. But yeah, just the fact that everyone is like, Heaven, what's your problem? He's your dad. You should forgive him. And like, I don't know. Give her some time, maybe.
Also, like,
wait and see if this, like, pans out that he is actually changed.
Also, like, it's not your fucking life. Let her not forgive him if she doesn't want to. I'm like,
I've been there.
Yeah.
I've had problems with my dad. It's hard. It's a process. You can't just be like, oh, he apologized. Great. It's done.
Also, in what world does saying, it's your dad, forgive him, work? Like, is anyone
hey, turn off your emotions. Oh, okay. You got it.
Thank you. I didn't think to do that.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. You're right.
So dumb.
You're so right.
Oh, so stupid. Thank you. So then.
Oh, yeah. So Cal then is like, go without me. Kitty's doing much better. The doctors say the tumor's practically gone out of nowhere. Don't worry about it. And then Evan sees Kitty's obituary in the paper that she had died the previous day. And so Cal was lying. And I was like, oh, maybe he lied to set her free. But Heaven thinks he's lying because he's free. And I truly don't know if she's right.
I do not know.
I feel like she's not, though, because Cal was ready to haunt her the rest of her days.
I know. He wanted to keep her in his life no matter what. I think what probably happened was it was a mix where he was like, okay, I'm free of Kitty.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can just make a decision. And I'm now seeing more clearly that like I shouldn't do this to this girl.
Mm-hmm.
But also I can find other girls if I want to. Because I'm sure he's not just like magically a great guy.
Because like he also apologizes too. And with him, definitely don't. Although there was that scene where like for a hot minute, Luke might have been about to marry Heaven.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like
to molest her.
He sold everybody. And then it's just Heaven left. And he like one night randomly comes and cuddles up to her on the floor by the stove. And starts like stroking her hair and her arm. And then the grandpa off to the side is like, hey, Luke, what you doing?
Yeah.
And he's like, nothing. And he gets up. And then Grandpa is like, hey, just fucking sell her then. Yeah. Get her out of here. Get like, if you're so tempted by your own goddamn daughter, sell her.
Also, he's like, you can have literally anybody in this town. Like, all these hill women want to fuck you.
Yeah, they are throwing their panties at you.
Why do you want to fuck your daughter?
And he's fucking sick.
Yeah. And then he's like, I can do what I want with her. She's mine.
She's mine.
And then it's like,
which is like a sick thing that does happen with truly fucked up men, like especially back in like an older age, an older era. Men would be like, oh, your ma died in childbirth. You're your new ma.
Yeah.
You're my new wife.
Yeah.
And you will now bear me more children.
Yeah.
So I guess it was just like a fucked up hill scum thing.
Yeah.
So then everybody's still expecting her to forgive him right away.
Yeah. And she's on this plane. Then,
yeah. So Cal apologizes, but he's also, it doesn't matter. Fuck him. He was molesting her. Fuck Luke. He was going to molest her.
I can't believe fuck she's them not. All. Here, you know what I was most shocked about? That she wasn't like, wow, I'm on a plane. Because she did not used to even have a TV. Now this bitch is flying in a plane and she feels fine.
She has a lot to deal with, Kelly.
She is reeling. She's like just ran away from her molester. She's trying to find her mom's side of the family. Her dad is fucked up, but like trying to be in her life again.
And I will say that like by the end, thank God, Heaven is like in charge of her life and emotions and brain.
Oh, you know what? Another thing, how this is really similar to the Dollengangers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that as they've grown up, she looks exactly like her mom and Tom looks exactly like Luke. So I know that there's going to be some, like, you know how VC seems to have this obsession with like seeing these like couples again through the children and then the children kind of like fucking and being like the parents.
Yeah.
I feel like there has to be a her and Tom situation.
I will not be surprised at all.
See, that's what I'm excited for. Her and Tom. I'm excited to see that. I'm not interested because now they're both adults and like they're whatever. So I'm like, oh, this is more titillating and less gross, or it's more scandalous and less gross.
They are just half siblings.
They are just half siblings.
That's totally fine.
And like they've been through a lot
together. Fuck your half brother.
Listen,
especially if you like grew up as brother and sister.
If you were raised as brother
and sister,
knowing
that you're half, but then you find out you're half, then you're all the more entitled to fuck.
I think the more of a surprise it is.
Yes.
That you're a half sibling.
Yes. You would think it'd be opposite.
If you think you're twin.
But no.
If you think you're a twin at first.
Yes.
But oh my gosh, you're just half sibling.
Yeah.
I think then like you're wrong if you don't fuck.
Those sexual feelings would come on strong.
I think instantly, right? Like they would always be there.
Yeah, they would have been there already.
Already. But like now it's right.
As soon as you find out, you're like, oh great, now I can act on them. And you should.
And you should, because otherwise you're disappointing your whole family.
Because otherwise, like, what are your genes even about?
Are you hill scum or not?
Like, be hill scum. If you're going to be hill scum, which you are, be hill scum.
You are hill scum.
So not even I thought, oh, so quick side note, the Reverend did in fact molest Fanny and she's having his baby and she's going to sell it back to them for $10,000 to raise as their own. And I was like, yeah, Fanny, get
actually,
it, girl.
I was like,
because
Fanny,
your dumbass dad sold you for $500.
She kind of knows what's going on.
Yeah. And she's also like way nicer at the end.
She is.
She's been through a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to read the end of the book and then we can wrap it up.
Yeah.
Unless you have something else to say.
No, I have nothing else.
So my tears dried. I knew without doubt that someday Fanny would reach her goals, no matter what she had to do to gain them. But what about me? I knew now that every event in anyone's life changed some facet of them. What was I now? Even as I thought that, my spine stiffened. From this day forward, I'd step boldly, without fear or shame, not timid, nor shy, nor to be taken advantage of. If you gave me nothing else, Kitty, you did give me true knowledge about my strength. Through thick and thin, through hell and back, I'd survive. Sooner or later, I'd come out the winner. And as for Pa, he'd see me again. He still had a huge debt to pay, and pay he would before I quit this world that had shown me so little mercy. As for now, Boston, the home of my mother, where I'd change as if magically into all that my mother had been and more. I was like, this is like the first time a VC Andrews heroine has ended the book correctly.
Yeah. I mean, this is the opposite of My Sweet Audrina, where she's about to fucking leave. And then
and then she turns back around. It's fucking miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait
girl.
To read, to figure out where this goes.
I can.
I know. I know.
I'm gonna give it a second.
We have some time. We're doing other books.
Mm-hmm.
But I am excited.
I need long breaks between VC Andrews.
They're very traumatizing.
And they're the same book every time.
They are.
She's obsessed. I don't know what happened to VC Andrews. I know. Didn't she have an accident or a health problem that kept her housebound?
Yeah.
In a wheelchair?
Yeah. And then she couldn't leave the floor she was on or something like that?
Yeah. She was like in the attic and she couldn't get down.
Yeah. There's something
so
like
I'm
that.
Sure that she was basically held prisoner.
Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of that in a lot of these books.
Yeah. There's a definite like claustrophobic feeling of being trapped.
There's...
And taken advantage of.
Okay. VC Andrews books. There's being trapped.
Yes.
There's abuse.
Incest. Sexual abuse.
Hot dads
who are bad.
Beautiful mothers.
Beautiful mothers who are either fucked up or perfect.
Like perfect and dead or fucked up and alive.
Alive and fucked up, yes. Two sickly twins.
Oh, tiny sickly
two
twins.
Two tiny sickly brothers and sister.
A slutty sister figure.
Slutty sister.
Who's like crazy.
Or slutty family member,
sure.
Anyway.
Slutty family member.
Stoic, upstanding brother who does still, in fact, want to fuck you.
Yes, but he's so...
But he's so like, upstanding.
A good boy.
He's such a good boy.
He's a good incest boy.
He's a good incest boy.
So good like incest boy brother.
Like any good brother, he is nice... And wants to have sex with you, but doesn't.
He
like any good brother.
Like any good brother, he keeps telling you he wants to marry you.
Yes.
Promises you he won't.
Yes.
But also tells you you're more beautiful than anybody he's ever seen.
Yeah. And then we also have Triple Threat Boy.
Triple Threat.
Who's boring, nice, and devoted.
Devoted.
But Triple Threat Boy, if he knows that you were raped, is like, out of there.
He's got to go. Also, here's the thing. If you are a VC Andrews heroine,
mm-hmm.
and you have to choose between good boy fuck brother
mm-hmm.
or triple threat, you're going to choose good boy fuck brother.
Yeah, you are.
Because hashtag frankly, boy more exciting.
Fuck brother.
And I think those are the things. This one uniquely had insane poorness. I think there's usually either insane poorness.
Usually they're rich.
Or richness. Richness.
Or it's like, they come from money, but they're trapped in circumstances and need money to get out of it.
It's
which
always,
was the case with Flowers in the Attic and My Sweet Audrina. So in this one, it's kind of a little bit opposite. She doesn't come from money.
Right.
And when she gets into money, then she needs money to get out of it.
It's kind always of. Rags to riches or riches to rags. There's always some kind of transition there.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Also working yourself to death on behalf of your family. Sacrificing everything you want.
Yes.
Having this is all BC Andrews book.
Either your eyes or hair are like many colors.
Yeah. Magical colored
eyes or hair.
Yes.
I think that's everything to do with the BC Andrews story. Oh, extreme hunger.
Oh, extreme hunger and extremely beautiful without knowing it.
Oh, so beautiful.
Or like knowing it, but being amazed by it.
You're constantly
you're
shocked.
Constantly shocked that
even
you're
though
beautiful.
Literally like, everyone you meet.
You know it.
You know.
When you look in the mirror, you're like, wow, I'm beautiful. But then you are constantly shocked by the fact that you are.
You either are too poor to own a mirror.
Yes.
Or you are shocked every time you see one.
Yeah. You look in the mirror and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa,
and also,
so beautiful.
If you're a heroine of a VC Andrews story, you are like, you're a pretty kind person. Like you're generally mm-hmm. pretty kind. Until someone pushes you and then you scream at the top of your lungs.
Yeah, lots of screaming.
Lots of screaming. And then also like fighting. There's lots of like physical fighting.
Yeah. Also too much empathy for your abuser.
Oh, honestly, it's just like cut it loose and run away.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So that's a VC. Now you know how to write your own.
So write your own.
We've just given you a little kit.
You can honestly write it better than Andrew Niederman because he doesn't seem to know about half of these tropes.
Yeah. These weren't in White Fern.
No. There was no incest in White Fern.
He was not a trouble threat.
No.
What the fuck happened to Alden?
Yeah. He turned evil.
He turned fully evil. Andrew Niederman, please call us so we can give you some advice on how to keep writing these books.
We just like to sit down with you and
We look forward to reading Child's Play, which is an original work of yours.
Yeah, we'll see how you do with your own ideas.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to everyone who tuned in and listened. If you, like we said, if you want a full plot summary penned by the lovely Katai.
No, you
can
you.
Sign up for our Patreon. That's $8 and up. You can also get photos of me as a child, little cornrow Kelly. And you also get access to a full length outside genre episode and mm-hmm. minisodes. $5 people get access to minisodes. Right now for our minisodes, we are reading Lindsay's 8th and 9th grade novel.
Mm-hmm.
It's been great so far.
Yeah, it's been great in that it's terrible. It's so bad. It's called, all right, so the full breakdown is me and my friend, 8th and 9th grade, we sat down every day and wrote out a bit of a novel. And like bit by bit, we wrote this. It is a parody of Sweet Valley High type books while being not good at it. It was a fake series called Empire High. And the first book is Battle of the Bands. Roman Empire. Siri, I am talking. I am talking now.
Siri's been kind of rogue lately.
Play by yourself.
I know. Go outside and have quiet time.
Outside. Mommy and her friend are talking.
It's been wonderful so far. If you enjoy just a lot of characters, this is the book
being
for you.
Continually introduced to
everyone
other characters.
Everyone has to meet everyone, which means the permutations are like,
yeah.
It's so many different combinations of people.
You know how a critique of ours is often not knowing where a character is in their physical space at a given time? I do not have that problem as a junior high writer.
I know.
If anything, you are entirely too aware.
Where every single part of every single person is.
Yes.
At all times.
Because apparently I assumed everybody else is also not much of a visualizer. And I wanted you to know.
So sign up for that. If you want to get on board with that, it's patreon.com/teencreeps. Thank you so much to
an
everybody.
Ongoing
who,
saga.
Who already contributes. We really, really
yes,
appreciate
thank
it.
You.
We really appreciate it. And you can follow us on all the socials at Teen Creeps Pod.
You can check out our other podcast, Public Domain Theater, where we read short stories aloud from the public domain with a guest and make fun of them throughout. It's very fun.
Very fun.
Uh-huh. And that's also on the Forever Dog Podcast Network.
Yeah.
Next week, we will be reading Mother's Helper.
Yes, by A. Bates.
Somebody pointed out after our episode, what was it? Was it just Cat? No, we haven't read that
one. We haven't
read
Cat. It was like a beach one.
It was a babysitter one, but.
Beach babysitter.
It was Beach Baby.
Beach Baby.
Watching the Beach Baby. That's what it was.
Babysitting the Beach Baby.
Yeah, but they kept saying the phrase mother's helper instead of like nanny or babysitter.
Which is
a regional
thing.
And then somebody was like, I found a book called Mother's Helper. And we're like, great, we will read that.
And here we are. So thank you so much to everybody who's been reading along. You don't have to, but you know, you can.
It's your funeral.
Yeah, you know, it's no one's making you. And we will see you guys next week.
Keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Katai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com. And subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.